Father God, we give this time to you, Lord. You've given it to us to use, and I ask that you'd help us to be good stewards of this time, Lord. Your word tells us that it won't come back void, and tonight we're especially studying that part. And so, Father, I ask that you touch deeply, use your word to touch us deeply, to change our lives. Make us all better disciples than when we walked in this evening, Lord. And in that, Lord, use the time to glorify your name. And we ask this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Before we get into Mark, let's see. Last time, Pastor Darren had asked me about spiritual warfare. Man, caught me by surprise. And I was driving home thinking, I didn't do a very good job of answering. And that, so I wanted to take a minute or two tonight. Oops, there we go. Go over a couple of verses and a couple of thoughts. First is from Matthew 28:18, right? And these are the words of Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Okay, when he says all authority has been given to him, that means all authority over the spiritual world as well. Jesus has all authority over Satan and any demon. Oops. I'll get the right slide here yet. In Mark 1:27, right, it says that the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching?" And with authority, he even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him. We covered that just a few weeks ago. This is an evidence of Jesus giving instructions, commands to demons, and they're forced to obey him. Now, Jesus passes that on to us as well. And at Mark 6:7, we'll get to this in a few weeks, it says Jesus called him the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits. Now, I take that to mean that Jesus has given us authority over the spirits as well. And that. Understand, though, that I don't personally have authority over any spirit. And that. I don't. And that. Only Jesus' authority is over the spirits. But if I'm acting in his will, I have authority over those spirits. And that. Now, and this may seem even a little strange in that, but I wouldn't say I welcome spiritual attacks, but I see a blessing in them. And because I think there's two times that I can recognize that we're under spiritual attack. The first one is when we're trying to do the Lord's work, when we're trying to do well in that, because then the enemy wants to attack you. You know, you don't bother if troops on the other side are sitting in the R&R area, shooting pool and eating chips. Well, you're not going to bother bombing that. You want the guy in the front row with the machine gun. That's who you're going to go after, and that's who the enemy goes after. So if I get attacked by the enemy, there's a good chance that he's attacking me because I'm doing the Lord's work. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. The other time that he attacks me is when he sees a weakness in my armor. He sees a chink in my armor, and he'll attack me. Now, you go, well, that's not very good. Well, no, it's not, but it alerts me to where there's a weakness in my armor. It tells me where I need, you know, if he attacks me, I don't know, for, say, greed, that I want to go after something and that I'm greedy for, and he's attacking me there, well, I know that there's something wrong with my heart and I need to go to the Lord and get that straightened out. And that, so in some ways, it's a blessing no matter when he attacks. And I know who the ultimate victor is. You know, it's not God and Satan on an even plane, and we're going to see who the winner is. And that the odds are pretty concise. It's 100-0. And that there's no question who wins the battle. I don't know, Darren, does that, you comfortable with that?
Absolutely. I just, and even just like a practical example, like sometimes, you know, like you gave, yeah, I think it was very helpful that, hey, I'm under a spiritual attack. Sometimes I just, mm-hmm. You'll just, hey, can you pray for me?
Yes, oh, I did it just Wednesday, I think, or Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, just saying we can pray for each other, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, I mean,
And that, so I guess the takeaways for us are, one, we know who the victor is, right? We shouldn't came up a couple Sunday, or maybe last Sunday morning when we were in prayer time before service, and that somebody saying, gosh, you know, will I ever get to the point where I won't be attacked by the enemy? And really, no. I don't think there will be a time that you won't be attacked by the enemy until you're in heaven. You won't attack you there. You know, you'll be in that. But until then, expect to be attacked in that. But know who the victor is. And, okay, let's go to Mark 4. Who is our microphone runner this evening? Peg, you're it. I think it's turned off right now. That would somebody read, let's see, verses 1 through 9 for us. Chapter 4.
He began to teach again by the
sea. Mike, hang on until we get a mic to you.
I don't know if we'll need that. There's not a whole lot of people here tonight, Gary.
Well, that brings up a point. Since there aren't that many people here tonight, you all have to contribute twice as much as you normally would.
Yeah. He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him. He got into the boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things and parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this, behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns. The thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. At this point, right, Jesus, and I love this section of the scripture, in that, because what we're gonna cover tonight is the keys to the kingdom of God. Right now, if somebody, I'm a car guy, we all know that, but if somebody hands me keys to a new car, I'm gonna be anxious. Well, tonight we're gonna be exposed to how to have the keys to the kingdom of God, which is a pretty good deal because there's no payments on it. Now, Jesus, at this point, he's used to large crowds. And when the crowd presses in on him, it's really impossible for him to speak to a whole bunch of people. And that, so for him to go out in a boat where he can separate himself by, you know, 15, 20 feet and have some natural acoustics, it makes sense for him to do that. And that. But now notice, too, though, and we'll see this in the verses upcoming, Jesus knows that in a large crowd, there are those that are going to be the seed on good soil that'll produce a crop of a 30, 60, 100-fold, and there's going to be some that aren't going to produce any crop at all. And then I find it fascinating in verse 3, right? It talks about listening, right? He starts by listen, pay attention. And that word, I think, applies to us today. And that when we study Scripture, we should listen. Listen to the Lord. What is he saying to us? And that, what does the word say to us on the page? And what is the Lord saying to us as we read it? We need to pay attention to that word. Now, Jesus is teaching in a parable, right? And a parable is actually, in Greek, means to set alongside. Okay, and what a parable is, it's an earthly story, an earthly example that has spiritual meaning. And that, now in this case, right, he's talking about farmers. Many in the crowd were probably farmers. You look at it in that time, most people were either farmers or fishermen. Right, those were the two most likely professions for the people in those ages. In that, so he was talking in a language that they understand, just as he talks in a language that you and I understand today too. In that, the Lord, You know, he'll tell something to Ray in a way differently than he tells me, and differently than the way he tells Ernie or the way he tells Chris. And that the Lord will speak to each of us in a language that we understand. He'll talk to us so that he knows our voice. He knows what we think. He knows what we understand. And that, now, Jesus here, he's setting a spiritual truth alongside an earthly truth. And that, now, a parable, right, both reveals and conceals truth. And we'll talk about it in a little bit here. And that, but part of the reason Jesus spoke in parables was that so that certain people would understand, but others would not. And you think about it at this time, right? Remember a few weeks ago, we were talking to the Pharisees. You know, they were listening to Jesus, looking how to trap him, right? How do we get him to either blaspheme or do something that we can accuse him of? And that, so in speaking in parables, people like the Pharisees, they're not going to get what he's talking about. Now, this is what sowing looked like in biblical times. And it's still today in certain places of the world. Thanks, Chris. The sower, the farmer, would have a basket full of seed, and he would cast the seed. Cast meaning throw it out onto the ground. And that's casting seed. Now let's, Chris, we need light so we can read verse 10 through 20. And who would like to do that for us?
But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them."
Go on through 20, Chris.
And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then would you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and those are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they stumble. And now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." How far?
Including 20.
"But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100.
Thanks, Chris. This passage, it to me, is phenomenal, what it's saying. And that, to begin with, the disciples didn't understand. Right. Now, have you ever read a passage in Scripture, right, and you go, "I don't get it," right? Or you heard Pastor Darren on Sunday morning, you know, and he's explaining, and I know he's doing the best he can, but sometimes I don't get it. Well, what's the proper response? The proper response is to get alone with Jesus and ask a question. Sometimes, you know, we're blessed in our congregation here that we can raise our hand and ask a question during service and that, but sometimes even then we're not quite sure and that. So what do the disciples do? They get along with Jesus and they ask the question, right? And the Lord will never, He will never condemn you for coming to him with an honest question to understand his word. Right? What loving father doesn't want his son, his children, to come to him and say, hey, I don't understand. Here's this rule, or you're telling me this thing, I don't get it. Any loving father is going to respect a child and love a child to do that. And that, so that's what we should be doing, right? James 4, verse 8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, in the Bible, in that we hear about mysteries, right? And I like a good mystery. I like a good mystery. And that, give me an episode of NCIS, and that, and I'm a happy camper for 45 minutes. But biblical mysteries are a little different. Right? And Bible, a mystery is often something that only the Lord can reveal, that earthly knowledge by itself will not reveal. And that it's the unfolding of a truth that only the Lord can give us. In verse 12, it says, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but those outside won't understand it. That's a quotation from Isaiah 6, word for word. And that people would, you know, would see but wouldn't see, that they would hear but wouldn't hear. Yeah. Now, some people can misunderstand this passage. They say, look and go, well, wait a second. If Jesus is speaking in parables, right, and some people will get it and others won't, doesn't he want everybody to understand what he's saying? And that doesn't he want everybody to come to him? And the truth is that of course the Lord wants everybody to come to him. Matthew 18 tells us, so it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. The Lord doesn't want any one of us to perish. And that, so why should Jesus speak in a parable and have some people not understand? The reason is that the Lord is respecting our wishes, right? You know, I think the best way to describe it is the Lord is truly a gentleman. Right? The Lord won't force himself on us. He could force us to follow him. Right? The Lord, he has enough power to do that. He could easily force us to follow him. But he wants us to follow him out of our own will, our own free choice to do so. Amen. And here, some people are indifferent to Jesus. They came maybe to see a miracle. Maybe they were like the Pharisees. They came and they wanted to trap him. And that they were indifferent to Jesus. And the truth is that the opposite of love really isn't hate. The opposite of love is indifference. And that these people were decidedly not in love with Jesus. And so Jesus didn't want to force them. He let them go their own way. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us, when you tell these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. And that's the way the parables work. And that's the way God's word is. It seems foolish to some people, and that, but those who love the Lord understand it. And then even today, right? You know, the Bible separates those who love the Lord from those who don't. Right? And Pastor was saying last Sunday you know, about the kids that were preparing. They were at a restaurant preparing for prom, and they were praying, and they caught all kinds of grief from people on Facebook and or whatever social media, you know, for praying before prom, and that, right? You know, the word will separate. It is meant to separate, right? You know, I mean, it tells us it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Well, a sword separates. And that, Luke 6:49, oops. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like the man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Unfortunately, those who hear the word and don't put it into practice, that's the ultimate result, that their houses collapse. And we see that in lives all around us. We can go into our workplaces, we can read the paper, read the news online. We see the houses collapsed here, there, and everywhere. Right? The lives that are wrecked. And it hurts to watch it, but that's what's happening in the world. Now, it tells us that this parable is the key to all the parables. Give Pastor the microphone, please.
You know, one thing when you were talking about, too, I think that it just kind of brings to mind to me is, you know, it's talking about the farmer scattering seeds. And so, just like you said earlier, I think we just have to remember, you know, it's between the Lord and them, whether it's received. Now, sometimes I get so bummed if they don't receive what, you know, the person I'm talking to at the restaurant or the person I'm talking to at the, if they're not receiving what's being said. It's so such a bummer. But I just have to remember, we have to remember, God just wants us scattering the seeds. So our job is simply to put the word out there and to give folks the word, you know, and some is going to fall on that hard, you know, rocky soil where it's, you know, going to be eaten up, and some they might receive it for a second and then forget it 20 minutes, and then some's going to be choked out by the world. You know, and then, but there's some that's going to bear fruit. Now, if you measure it in percentages, that's only 25% that says, you know, it's going to bear fruit. That's, I mean, 75%. Now, again, we don't go by percentages. I'm just saying, but just by the story, that's a big number.
Yeah, well, I mean, the way I think of it is that we're called to obedience, not performance. And that, you know, I'm called to cast seed. Right, and you know, and that's what I'm doing here tonight. I'm casting seed, and that, you know, it's up to y'all's hearts to whether it takes root or not. And that when you study Scripture, you're casting seed. It's up to your heart whether you receive it and whether it produces. And that's what we're going to get into. You know, we're told to make disciples of all nations, and that we're supposed to cast seed. But the Lord doesn't say, well, but you know, Chris, you know, your seed needs to sprout 100-fold or you're a failure. That isn't the way it works. And that, in fact, we'll get into some verses on that in a little bit here. And that. So if this parable is the key, right, and he says that the parable tells us it's the key to the kingdom of God, this is something I want to unlock, right? And I think it's amazing. It's amazing to me that the Lord would give me, you, all of us, the keys to the kingdom of God. It truly is. I mean, you look at, you know, who's going to get, it's funny. I mean, you think about keys to my house, the keys to my office. And I'm careful who I give a set of keys to. Right, and that here the Lord gives us keys to the kingdom of God. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing to me. Okay. Now the seed is cast. Luke 8, which is the parallel passage, right, puts it quite plainly. The seed is the word of God. Okay. So the seed is supposed to be cast. The word of God, poor Chris. The seed is supposed to be, we need to put it on a clicker, right? The seed, we're supposed to cast seed, right? And you notice that the seed, it's not that there's good seed and bad seed. You don't hear Jesus saying that at all. The seed is all good. The question is what kind of soil it gets into, right? Well, what's the soil? The soil is our hearts. The soil is our heart. Okay. Proverbs 4 tells us, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So it's not surprising that Jesus is talking about the condition of our hearts here. Now, he describes a number of different kinds of people, right? The first is a hard-hearted people, right? They hear the word, but their heart is so hard it doesn't penetrate. Right? They aren't changed by the word because it doesn't enter their heart at all. And and Satan in troubles will steal it away. Now, how many times have you heard somebody that, you know, that they'll attend church with you or something, and they go, "Oh, I didn't get anything out of that. I didn't get, you know, I didn't know sense being there. I don't know what he was talking about." Well, they have hard hearts. They have hard hearts. The word was just as good for me or you, but their hearts were too hard to receive it. And that, you know, I don't know, Chris, you're a horticulturist. And that when ground is real hard, it's hard for rain to soak in, isn't it, at first?
Well, the seed can wash away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just get plucked off. Yeah. Don't have anywhere to sink their roots.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put your roots in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
For most seeds, you have to dig about an inch and a half, put the seed down inside, mm-hmm. cover it over with a little tiny filter
mm-hmm.
dirt, and be careful how you water it so that it doesn't turn mm-hmm. the seed out.
Yeah. Yeah, now, you know, in many places in Scripture, you know, the word talks to us about being concerned about a hard heart. And this is exactly what it's talking about, in that when our hearts get hard, the word doesn't get into our hearts. In that. And you can ask yourself, well, what makes a heart hard? In that. Well, what makes a heart hard is when I refuse the Lord. When the Lord reaches out to me and I don't want to listen. The Lord says, you need to change this in your life. And I go, yeah, later. Not now. Later. Yeah, talk to this person. I'm kind of busy. Yeah, they're going to say I'm an idiot. And I say no. And that, my heart gets hard when I do that. Now, yeah.
Then should we be, you know, if we feel like our hearts are getting hard, you know, it just occurs to me as, you know, that we should be praying even every time we come in here, whether it's, you know, listened on Thursdays or Sundays. Lord, will you just, even on the way over here, you know, soften my heart, Lord, or to any Bible study, soften my heart, Lord, to whatever, you know, you want to speak to me. Get the soil of my heart mm-hmm. ready for to receive whatever you have for me, Lord, or even as I'm listening to stories, positive stories about, you know, your son being clean for 100 days, but, you know, is his heart still hard to the things of God? You know, should we be praying also then for other people? Lord, will you take that hard heart for the things of you and start to soften it with the oil of your Holy Spirit? Will you work in his life to soften that heart or her heart? So that they'll be ready to receive some of those things instead of just saying, well, they're not listening, the heck with them.
Mm-hmm.
How about we pray? You know, I mean, is that something we should
sure.
do?
Sure, no, exactly, exactly.
Another thing that just occurred to me, too, though, is that we should just plant the seed without anything, any expectation, anything, because we are just planters. Someone else might come and water and nourish, and someone else will reap a harvest so that we all rejoice together. And it's not just any one of us. So that's just like all of it. Just let it go and just move on down the road. And maybe later you might come back to water it, or maybe later you'll come back to harvest. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, the next type of heart is a half-hearted heart. Right. This is the one that the cares of the world and that crowd out the word. Right. And I know, I suspect we're all guilty of it to a certain extent. Right. You know, today, you know, prepping and doing my work, competed for time. And that, I think there's times that all of us, you know, pastor may run a little late, and we're thinking the football game starts in a half hour. Am I going to get home in time for the kickoff? Right? Yeah, whatever it is. You know, I'm too busy worrying about my career path to spend daily time with the Lord. Right? I need to rather stay up with current journals or whatever. And that, and the solution. You know, the solution is to spend more time in the Word. Right?
Was the half-hearted heart the shallow heart?
Yeah. No, it's the crowded heart. I'm sorry. It's the shallow heart. Yes. I'm confusing my own notes here. Yeah, I thought the kids would end this one, and that this is where the cares of the word choke out the word of God.
So vile.
and I confuse the half-hearted heart, and that the half-hearted heart is the shallow heart, in that, and that's the heart of the person who doesn't know the word that well. You know, when we're baby believers, and that, yeah, you expect our hearts to be somewhat shallow and that. But as we spend more and more time in the Word, and that there's soil there so the Word can take root, change our lives, and that so it can sprout. Yes, to Miss Shirley. I'm sorry.
Similar to like a lukewarm heart, like a half-hearted, just like,
I think it depends. It depends on what caused the person to be lukewarm. Are they lukewarm because they just never really cared at all? In which case, they'd have shallow heart because they don't know the word. Or are they lukewarm because they abandoned their first love? They loved the Lord once, grew up quickly, and then kind of fell away because the world took them away. And that, Darren?
Yeah, no, I was just reading, when it talks about in those verses and where it says, some seeds fell along the path and the birds of the air ate it up, and then some fell on those rocky places where it didn't have much soil. And so it sprang up quickly, and because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered because they had no root. So, like, to me, it almost seems like, okay, that's somebody who's, like, going to receive, the word quickly, and, oh, it sounds really great, but those roots never really went down, they never really took root. I mean, and so anytime any persecution comes, anybody gives a hassle, anytime, you're going to see that that's not genuine. It's almost like a wax statue. It might look exactly like that actor or exactly like that president, but if you turn up the heat,
yeah, it melts away.
You're going to see it melts because it has. But the point that I was trying to make is that because is there something about that because it had no root that tells me that it's because I know the word says no one can snatch us out of our Father's hands. So I think that's just like an almost like to me like an emotional, yeah, that sounds good, Jesus, I'll give that. But it's not real. It's not, there's no depth to it at all. There's no realness. Mm-hmm. There's no root, and that's why it dies, because it's not rooted in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for us, right, I mean, I think that that's a telltale sign too, right? I mean, if we find ourselves easily diverted, you know, somebody at work or school, you know, starts picking on us because of our faith, if we start backpedaling, start making excuses for our faith, it's a good chance that we may not have the depth of soil. We may not have the root that we need to have. You know, it could be time for us to get on our knees, pray, spend more time in the Word. And that, it could be a signal for us. Now this guy, right, and that the cares of the world can choke out. Right, you know, money is deceitful. And that the Greek word for cares means pulled in many directions. And that describes life, right? I mean, I don't know about you guys. I mean, there's days I feel like I'm being pulled in four different directions at the same time. And I'm not sure what square I'm going to land on. And it's the cares of the world. And that, but it's deceitful, right? This desire for things that won't really make me happy, right? You think about, we're all familiar with the rich man in Matthew 19, right, who had all the possessions. Right? In the men's study, we've been going through Ecclesiastes, right? Solomon, you know, was the wealthiest man alive, had everything you could possibly want. No physical thing was he lacking, and that was available in his time. And that, and what did he say? It's meaningless. It's meaningless. You know, John D. Rockefeller, the wealthiest man, you know, about 1890 or 1900, you asked him what he wanted. Just a little more. Just a little more. And then, right? You know, those things, desire for those things, chokes out the time for study and prayer. Right. You know, the person is alive, doesn't produce any fruit. Doesn't produce any fruit. You know, so the question, you know, that I need to ask, you know, are the thorns in my life choking out my fruit, keeping me from producing fruit? Right. You know, because the truth is that I can't walk away from the Lord and produce fruit. Right. Now, in verse 9, right, Jesus said, if you have ears, hear. Right? Now, the good seed does not always produce the same results. Right? Doesn't talk about different grades of seed. This is all the same seed. And the Word of God is good. Yeah. It's the quality of the ground that depends on what it produces. Right. So the difference is not the seed, it's the differences in the ground. Now, the seed on good ground, and I'm not a farmer, but my understanding is that any crop needs rain periodically. It needs to be nourished. Right? It needs to draw nourishment from the soil every day to keep growing. Right? And I think that's true in our spiritual lives as well. Right? We need to be watered frequently. We need to draw nourishment from the Word regularly, preferably every day. So I guess the question that I ask myself out of this is, you know, what's the condition of my heart? I need to examine my heart. 2 Corinthians 10, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, This is, you have to remember, this is a parable. You know, Jesus is not saying that we are dirt. He's saying our hearts are like soil for this analogy. So how do we change the soil in our hearts? You know, how do we change our wanters? All right, well, the key to the parables is to listen with a soft heart. All right, and this pastor talked about how do we keep our hearts soft? Right. Well, one answer is, we don't want to go to the screen, Chris, I'm sorry. One answer is from Psalm, I fooled myself, actually. Psalm 119, right? You might want to turn there with me. 119, beginning with verse 9.
What verse is Psalm 119?
Verse 9. Psalm 119, verse number 9. Hang on just a second until everybody gets there. Okay, let's do verse 9 through 16.
How can you, man, keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes and rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees.
Your decrees.
Decrees, and I will not neglect your word.
I think this is a very good way to keep your heart soft, right? You live according to the Lord's word, right? You seek the Lord with all your heart. You know, don't stray from his commands. Hide his word in your heart so that you can live it daily. Right. Praise the Lord in all things. Give praise to the Lord. Speak about his law. Speak about the Lord with others, and have that fellowship, right? And that recognize that following the Lord brings great treasure. And I don't know about you guys, my life is a whole lot better now than it was before I knew the Lord. And if I didn't know him, I don't think you guys would want to know me at this point. You don't need to agree that much, Darren. Thank you. But the truth is that we should delight in his decrees, right? And not neglect the word, right? And that's important for us, not to neglect the word. Okay, let's get into... Yeah, okay. Chris, no, we need lights, Chris.
It says light.
No, but, yeah, no idea, but we need light to read verses 21 through 25. We're back in Mark. Don't read it in Spanish. Who's our reader this time out? Miss Neely?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I saw Neely first. I saw Neely first. Okay, 21 through 25, please, Neely.
And he was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him.
Now, I think with this parable, the Lord is saying that he wants the truth to be known. Right? Lord tells us that his word is the light unto our feet. Right? That's what Psalm 119 says. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light to my path. The word is, Lord doesn't want us stumbling along the path of life. He wants us to know the way. And he wants his ways to be known. He wants his truth to be known by us. Right? Now, in the last passage, you notice that the seed is to produce something. Right? The seed grows and produces a crop. Here you have a similar situation in that the light is not to be hidden. It's to be put out where it can be seen. And that a seed that stays in the ground doesn't produce, or stays underground, doesn't produce a crop. You know, you can't make bread out of wheat that never breaks the ground. And that a light that's kept under a basket or under the bed doesn't provide any real light for the room. And that. So just like the seeds need to break the ground to be seen, and that the Lord's word needs to be seen. Right now, we're told that Jesus is a fountain of living water. Right, and I think in verse 24, what he's saying to us is that what we receive will be based on how we receive the word. Goes back to the previous passage. And that how we receive the word of God will depend on what we receive. Right? And the question that the Lord asked me with this passage is the truth of God flowing through me? You know, does his word flow through me to you? Does it flow through me to the checkout person at Walmart? Or the person, you know, wherever? Doesn't make any difference. And that is it going through. You know, am I sharing the word with others to bless them? And that. Because the more I share, the more he'll fill me. The better my ground is, the more accepting of seed my ground is. I think it's a warning to us as well. Right? If we take the Lord's word and we bury it and we don't share it, and that we'll probably not receive as much, we won't understand as much when we do study the word.
Mm-hmm.
Buried.
Yeah, sorry, I was just saying, yeah. I was thinking of when that, yeah, the parable of that talent, when he buried the talent, Jesus said, hey, I want you to go and do this and use it. And he tells us to go and make disciples of all men and go spread, shine your light and share the word as best as we know how, or share a testimony, mm-hmm. you know. And I just think about the one, you know, servant who said, I'm just going to bury it. and never did anything mm-hmm. with it. And Jesus called him not just a lazy servant, but a wicked servant. And then he cast him out. You know, he's like, okay, you know that I'm a hard man. You know that you're not going to do anything. Mm-hmm. You're not going to obey me. You're not going to listen to me. So that's an interesting word.
Well, it also, and I forget the exact citation in that, but I would say, you know, to whom has he who has much, even more will be given. He who has little, even what he has will be taken away from him. And, you know, if you wonder why some people seem to get so much out of Scripture, it's because they use Scripture. They use it. You know, the more they use it, the more they receive. Okay, I wanted to get into the next section, but it's already 8 o'clock. And that, we'll have to pick it up in a couple of weeks. Father, we thank you that your seed is always good, Lord. And we thank you that your word, scripture, and the teaching that's available is always available to us, Lord. We never run out of seed, Lord. We have an unlimited supply of seed available to us, Lord. Father, I ask that you'd help us to be like the young man in Psalm, that we would have pure, soft hearts, Lord. And I know that there's places on my heart that are still hard, Lord, for one reason or another. And that, Lord, I ask that whatever those places are, that you would address that, Lord. You would help break through, help me to turn those sections of my heart over to you. I know I can't break the hardness in and of myself. I just need to turn those sections of my heart over to you so that you can chip away the hardness, Lord. And we thank you. Thank you that you do that. And we thank you too, Lord, that you're forgiving and graceful, Lord, that you will not send us away, that if we come to you trying to understand the mysteries of your word, that you will reveal the truth to us, Lord, so that we might become the disciples and children that you would have us to be. And we thank you for all of this, and in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, everyone.